You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Ravens. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of Ravens Wire. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch this season. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through game day and become a member of the League of Football Watchers, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. And we are back. It is Taco Tuesday, and back with me is Spencer Schultz, but he will be coming on and joining us in the second and third segments here today, and he'll be helping us recap what happened in that Ravens Week 10 loss to the New England Patriots. I mean, it was a tough one, a 23-17 defeat, a game that most thought Baltimore would win. And again, losses are tough. Losing in the NFL, you know, player, coach, fan, whoever you are, executive, it's tough. You never want to see the team you root for, you play for, you coach for lose. But just because there is a loss does not mean that a season is over. Just because a player is done for the year or there are injuries does not mean the NFL season is over for that team. And in Baltimore's case, I think that, you know, you can't sum up anything better than that, because the season is not over. There is so much more to look forward to during the rest of this regular season into what hopefully will be a very nice playoff run for this Ravens team. Now, I know that where this Ravens team was at the start of the 2020 season is not where they are now. Expectations versus reality, whatever you want to call it. But in this first segment, I do want to do a little bit of a deep dive into what this team, what this offense, what this defense needs to do in order to get back to Raven football. And I think it all starts with the offense. I think the defense, that's always going to be brand Ravens football. It's going to be, you stuff the run when you're healthy. It's going to be tough when you don't have Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams in there. That's to be expected. But it's the blitzing, it's this, that, and the other. So I do want to get into just what this team needs to do to get back to that Ravens brand of football and get back to successful football. Because wins, those are wins. But can you do it successfully? Can you successfully execute on most of your offensive possessions to win games? And so far throughout the season, it's been rare that Baltimore does that. Now, it hasn't all been bad. The Ravens offense, they had that streak of games with more than 20 points. They had only scored less than 24 points once leading up to the New England game. So now I guess it's two games this season, but still, we'll talk about all of that. And then we'll get into the Ravens and Patriots game with Spencer Schultz for our Taco Tuesday regular content. So we'll jump into all of that. But before we do that, be sure to follow us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere there's a podcast. We're there waiting for you Monday through Friday at 6 a.m. Eastern Time. Also, be sure to follow us on Twitter at Locked On Ravens and my personal account at KOstreicher34 for analysis, content, stats, and game updates as well, and anything else related to the Baltimore Ravens. So with all that being said, let's jump right in and talk about just what this offense needs to do now. And what I mean by now is, again, the Ravens offense during week one, we saw a high-flying effort by that offense and a 38-6 victory against the Cleveland Browns. Now, where is this offense now as opposed to where it was then? It's different. You have a team that has struggled to identify themselves, whether they're a run team or a pass team. Whether they're able to effectively run or effectively pass, it kind of varies from week to week. We have some weeks where Baltimore is a very dominant running team but can't throw the football. We have some weeks where it's the exact opposite and Baltimore can throw the football very well, but they cannot run it. We then have some weeks where Baltimore can't do much of either. So it's interesting to see that from an offense that was so ball dominant and so run heavy in 2019, they are struggling to find a personality. And there are two things you can stack this up to, and especially where the Ravens are right now on offense, and it's personnel. The Ravens in 2019 loved their 23 personnel. What 23 personnel is three tight ends. So you have two running backs, which in the Ravens' case is either Patrick Ricard and a running back, or you could have two running backs on the field. But two running backs can consist of one fullback. So it's two running backs, three tight ends, and no wide receivers on the field. Baltimore also ran this personnel sometimes with a wide receiver on the field, and that is called 22 personnel, where it's two tight ends, one wide receiver, and two running backs again, which can include a fullback. But what we've seen is the sudden shift from a 23 personnel offense all of a sudden to a much more 22 personnel offense because Baltimore just simply does not have the personnel to run a heavy scheme through a 23 personnel offense. We saw Mark Andrews, Nick Boyle, Hayden Hurst. That was a great and dominant 23 personnel lineup on top of Patrick Ricard because of the fact with the RPOs in there, you were able to deceive defenses into whether they were running or whether they were passing. Now let's move forward and talk about the 22 personnel that we saw at the beginning of the 2020 season where Hayden Hurst gets traded to the Atlanta Falcons. So that is a tight end gone. Baltimore opts to not go with three tight ends on the active roster for 2020. So what does that mean? Baltimore starts running their 22 personnel with one wide receiver and two running backs on that field now. They also ran this without Patrick Ricard on the field and with another wide receiver. It's the two tight end sets. But at the end of the day, Baltimore saw much more success out of a 23 personnel based off of their tight end's ability to catch the football. Now, Nick Boyle made strides as a pass catcher. And again, he will be severely missed. But now let's talk about right now where the Ravens are at. They're going to have to start running a lot of 21 personnel. They're going to have to adjust their offensive scheme because Nick Boyle is gone. What does that leave them with? It leaves them with one tight end. One tight end on the active roster right now, Luke Wilson. I'd be shocked if he wasn't signed either today or tomorrow, sometime this week. I would also expect maybe a Xavier Grimble, Sean Culkin to be called up from the practice squad. I think Baltimore needs to either get back to their 23 personnel, which is what they had in 2019, or they should just completely, not completely, I shouldn't say completely, they should change part of their offensive system to better use 21 personnel and to better throw the football. Because the Ravens are one of the few teams in the NFL who still use a fullback. I believe 8 teams currently use a fullback. I might be mistaken on that. But the Ravens without Nick Boyle, the Ravens without Ronnie Stanley, again, they lose their two best blockers in a span of 3 weeks. They will not be able to rely on Nick Boyle's blocking anymore, and they have not been able to rely on Ronnie Stanley's. I think that's going to cause a shift in the offense. We're going to see more 21 personnel. We're going to see Baltimore sometimes go with 22 personnel, but they will throw this football more often. I do think that. And even though this is a run-heavy offense, the offensive line right now is an absolute shambles. Now, I've seen a lot of stuff with Matt Skura. First of all, there have been threats against Matt Skura's family for his performance on Sunday. There is no place. There is no place for that with any athlete, with any person in general, right? Matt Skura had a horrible game, and no one can debate that. I mean, it's true. But to bring someone's family into it, I mean, football at the end of the day, it's a game. It's a game. Matt Skura did not play it well on Sunday, but bringing someone's family into it is just the lowest of the low. So it's unfortunate that that had to happen, and I think that no player, no person should have to go through that for a bad performance in a game, for anything, quite frankly. But for Baltimore, there's a lot that goes into this decision to either move the offense to a more pass-happy offense or to keep it the way it is right now. But what I do know is the pass offense as it is not going to work. The pass offense right now is very unoriginal. We have seen improvement. I will not say it's horrible, everything is wrong. But right now, Greg Roman has seemingly struggled with coming up with pass concepts that confuse a defense. I think the defenses are catching on to what Greg Roman is doing. And Baltimore right now does not have the weapons in order to sustain a throwing offense for 60 minutes right now. Willie Snead has been admirable in his play over the past couple weeks. He has been Baltimore's true number one receiver, and I would love to see him re-sign to a 2-year, $7 million extension, 1-year, $4 million extension. I'd love that because Snead seemingly right now is the heart and soul of that passing offense. But with Nick Boyle gone and with Ronnie Stanley gone, it is going to cause a shift. Now with Matt Skura in the offensive line, I would love to see Matt Skura moved over to right guard, benched. Just get him out of the center position. The snaps have been an issue for the greater part of 3 years now. Something needs to change there. Put in Patrick McCary. Put in Tristan Colon Castillo. I mean, put in Bradley Bozeman. At this point, the Ravens, they have a lot of guys on their offensive line. They purposefully went in with a lot of depth on their offensive line, but now they have their backup right guard who was replacing their starting right guard playing right tackle for the guard who the Ravens originally signed to be a backup guard but then was moved out to tackle who couldn't play tackle well enough. And then you have your starting right tackle to left tackle because of the injury to your left tackle. You have a center in college playing left tackle. You have a guy in Matt Skura who's not playing center well. It's just a complete mess on the Ravens offensive line right now. I'd expect heavy investments in the offensive line in the offseason. I'd expect heavy investments in the wide receiver core in the offseason. This offense has been a draftable offense with a buy it defense. You're not going to do well if you don't kind of go with a little bit of both. And I think right now Baltimore needs to shift some of that buying to the offense. Bring in an Allen Robinson. We saw the elevation of Kyler Murray's game when he got DeAndre Hopkins. Imagine what Lamar Jackson could do with DeAndre Hopkins. And right now he's making the most of what he can with what he has right now. And this isn't me saying the wide receiver core for Baltimore is horrible and awful and it's the worst in the league. They have talent. They just need to utilize it the right way. And for me, that falls on the coaches, and hopefully they'll be able to figure it out. But there will be a shift in this offensive personnel, and I think it's coming sooner rather than later. We're going to head into our first break here, but when we get back, we'll be talking with Spencer Schultz of Baltimore Beatdown about the Ravens game against the Patriots in Week 10, so stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Between never-ending laundry cycles and incoming emails, you've got plenty on your to-do list. Give yourself one less thing to worry about and let DoorDash take care of your next meal. Right now, our listeners can get $5 off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more. When you download the DoorDash app and enter code LOCKEDON, that's $5 off and zero delivery fees on your first order. When you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code LOCKEDON, don't forget that's code LOCKEDON for $5 off of your first order with DoorDash. Thanks to a lack of natural athleticism or commitment or overbearing sports parents, fewer than 1% of 1% of 1% of people will ever play professional football. But instead of entering the NFL, they've joined another league, the League of Football Watchers. This football season will be different, and Pepsi is here to get you ready for game day no matter how you watch. Pepsi is the refreshment you need to power through any game day, because Pepsi isn't made for those who play the game, it's made for those who watch it. Go to madeforfootballwatching.com to check out the latest football watching content from Pepsi. Pepsi, made for football watching. And we return with our second segment of this Locked On Ravens episode. Kevin Ostreicher still hanging out with you here. And back with us today, as is Taco Tuesday tradition, is Spencer Schultz to digest everything related to the Ravens' Week 10 defeat to the New England Patriots. The game did not go as many expected or as a lot of people hoped, but hopefully Baltimore can use this as something to get better from. How you doing today?
Doing all right. It was a rainy, messy game, and the Ravens played a sloppy game. And at the end of the day, you know, if you're not able to execute at the level of snapping the football and basically lining up correctly against the run, then you're not going to win games. And the Ravens, at this point, have lost their two of their, you know, more veteran offensive players that they rely upon. And, you know, they're now a younger and even younger, even less experienced offense without Boyle and Stanley moving forward. So it's going to be a trying times for a young, cheap offense, and the defense is without a lot of star power. So the Ravens are beaten up, bruised and tattered, and we'll see what they're able to do.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be a tough stretch here, I think, with just the injuries that have happened, whether it's, you know, season enders like Stanley and Boyle, or even guys who are going to miss weeks here, maybe Calais Campbell if he doesn't get back this week, or even Brandon Williams, Terrell Bonds, and the like, Jimmy Smith. It's going to be tough. And what I want to start off with here, Spencer, is talking about the offense, and specifically Lamar Jackson, who went 24 of 34 for 249 yards, two touchdowns, one interception through the air, as well as leading the team in both carries and yards with 11 carries for 55 yards. Now, Spencer, I think Lamar Jackson actually played very well in this game, was very poised, even though there was pretty much a monsoon happening in Foxborough. And, you know, there were a few mistakes that Jackson just could not control, whether it be dropped passes from his receivers, bad snaps from his center, or bad blocking from the offensive line. All things considered, I do think this was a pretty good game from Jackson. So, Spencer, how did you like what you saw from Lamar Jackson on Sunday?
Just from the TV broadcast, it looked like he was very calm. He didn't press, especially even when they were down and facing some, you know, dire circumstances. We didn't see a frantic Lamar Jackson. We didn't see the one who presses the issue and sometimes forces some mistakes, especially this year and maybe in his rookie year. And it was a positive sight, I thought. It was really encouraging to see him able to navigate and keep the Ravens in the game and keep pushing and, you know, moving through some issues. And one of those issues was snapping the football, and it really bit them. It really, really bit them. Not, you know, the fourth and one, maybe that play doesn't end up getting converted there. That was a maybe, you know, not a play call we can get into, but we don't know the outcome. If it was a, if it was successful, it probably would have been looked at as a great play call. If it wasn't, then it wouldn't. But they couldn't even get the play off. The snap knuckles in the wind, and then we see another one that Lamar Jackson, you know, has in a pivotal situation late in the game, and that wasn't the only two situations there. So all things considered, being able to drive down the field, throw a touchdown to Willie Snead for the second time, and then you know, do some things a little bit later, but ultimately fall short, was certainly disappointing. But it feels like he isn't pressing anymore, playing from behind. He is not trying to be Superman, trying to make the perfect throw, trying to you know, play extra fast to make up for the fact that the clock might be dwindling. So it was encouraging to see. I think that it's difficult to gauge, you know, without being there, how bad the wind might have been and how bad the rain might have been. But when I just right before we got on started looking at small 22 and the tarps up in the club level of Gillette Stadium, immediately off the bat are just whipping, and you can see them kind of pulling up and coming loose. So definitely is difficult to, you know, really throw the ball over top and against the wind. Wind impacts the accuracy more than the rain does. That has been something that's been documented by a couple different sports sites and things over the years that I find interesting. But when you couple the two, it's tough. And we didn't see the Patriots attack down the field. So it ultimately came down to the Patriots run game and the Ravens trying to, you know, dink and dunk and make some runs and make some plays, some Lamar Jackson scrambles and things. But I don't think he really made a lot of errors in this game. So it was encouraging. And it's maybe a little bit of a step forward, while some other guys didn't play as well. The offense didn't perform at a high level other than maybe him and Orlando Brown and Willie Snead. So it's tough to analyze. But like you said, you know, moving forward, it might be a good thing. Lamar Jackson is probably going to have to throw the ball a lot more without Nick Boyle and without, you know, Ronnie Stanley able to move guys in the run game. So a lot of the smoke and mirrors, a lot of the motions, a lot of the things that make this offense dangerous on the ground are now gone. And it's going to be interesting to see how they adapt. And with Jackson maybe going through a transition, putting a little bit more on his plate in the passing game and seeing how he's able to manage it will be big, especially as, you know, who knows what can happen. But this team is going to have a pretty pivotal offseason after some of the troubles that they've had, regardless of how the season ends and moving forward. So it's an interesting case study on what to do with a young quarterback that doesn't have a lot of talent around him.
Absolutely, Spencer. And this is going to be year four for Lamar Jackson. This upcoming season will be year four for Lamar Jackson. So seeing what Baltimore ends up doing, he will be eligible to be extended this upcoming offseason, I believe. But at the end of the day, the Ravens are going to have to push through this stretch. As you mentioned, their two best blockers are gone. And Spencer, I want to talk to you about the rest of the guys who are blocking for Lamar Jackson and this run game right now, because it honestly hasn't been pretty. The Ravens offensive line is honestly in shambles right now. I think a lot of people are going to start with Matt Skura at the moment, who accounted himself in the box score for three fumbles. Although if Lamar Jackson wasn't looking a lot like Odell Beckham Jr. with some of those snaps, it probably would have been a lot more. Spencer, with everything that's happened on this Ravens offensive line over the last few weeks, whether it be with positions shuffling, people getting benched in games, I mean, what are your thoughts on this offensive line, and what would you do moving forward in order to maybe shore things up?
First thing I would do is insert Ben Powers. I still don't understand why he hasn't been playing. We saw him finally come in, and Pat McCary gets kicked out to right tackle, which in itself is interesting. McCary played tackle at Cal. That was his primary position for the most part, but he has really short arms. He has 30-inch arms. He's going to get beat by length badly. But that might be better than what we saw to DJ Fluker, who just does not have the flexibility, the agility, the footwork, the balance, the core stability to play tackle in the NFL right now. He ends up getting pulled after just consistently getting beaten, especially as a pass blocker, over and over and over again. So it was difficult to see that. But at this point, you know, Skura, God bless his soul. I have nothing against the guy as a human being. He seems like a great person, a smart person, a great family man. But this is not the first time he's had issues snapping the ball. And you can make the excuse of the rain. You can say that he has a hurt thumb. But if you go back to when Joe Flacco was still playing in 2018, there were numerous, you know, strange snaps. The ball just kind of floats out away from him. He ends up kind of knuckling it to the right, it feels like, or a lot. And that was an issue that the Ravens fought through really all of 2018, There's quite a few snap issues. Then last year, it seemed like that had died down a little bit. It did rear its head a couple times, but much less. And then ultimately this year, this wasn't the first game. It was an issue last game. There's been issues previously. So it's a recurring theme. So you feel for the guy. He had an ACL injury and things like that. But they have a guy named Tristan Colon Castillo out of Missouri that they sign as an undrafted guy. He's a little beefier than Skura or Macari. He was, you know, no world beater. He wasn't a supreme athlete in comparison with his competition, but he was solid. He showed the IQ. He showed just the ability to get out and move guys off the ball a little bit. And he seems like a little bit more of an athlete for a bigger dude. And it might be best to maybe relegate Skura to some bench time if he has some sort of hand issue, if he has some sort of mental issue, or is getting the yips with the snaps or something. It feels like they're probably going to trot him back out there, but maybe, you know, maybe try him at guard. Maybe move him around. Maybe bench him. So I would like to see maybe Macari get some snaps at center, or Tristan Colon Castillo get some snaps at center, and then Ben Powers at that right guard spot. And I don't know what the hell they're going to do at right tackle, to be honest. I don't know. They do not have two NFL tackles on this team. It feels like Phillips might be a better answer than Fluker, but Phillips has some of the same problems that Fluker has. And without Nick Boyle able to maybe go line up on the right side and help out a little bit in the run game and some things like that, this Ravens offense really is going to unravel. It's going to be a problem. Lamar Jackson's going to have to deal with pretty tough situation, but at the end of the day, you know, you go look at the Bengals and Orlando Brown's probably better than any offensive lineman on the Cincinnati Bengals right now. Bradley Bozeman probably starts on the Bengals as well. I'm sure maybe at least one more guy would start on that Cincinnati Bengals offensive line. So it's, you know, a situation that other teams around the NFL have to navigate, and it's atypical, but I think it was negligent of the Ravens front office directly for Eric DaCosta and company to not have a third tackle on this football team. DJ Fluker hasn't played tackle in a long time. And while he did play maybe his best football early on as a tackle, he has not done that. He has gotten kind of less athletic and more stiff as time has gone on. They had Andre Smith that they had signed. He opted out. They had a guy, Will Holden, who I believe is still in the practice squad, if I'm not mistaken. But you basically entered a season with two tackles. And when you have guys that you rely on at those bookends, like Ronnie Stanley and Orlando Brown, and are such a key part of the offense, to essentially just ignore the possibility of depth being a concern there seemed negligent. And I think that goes for the tight end room as well, as we now see Nick Boyle out for the year. You go from a year where you had too many tight ends to one tight end with an offense in Greg Roman that clearly loves utilizing tight ends, and to trade Hayden Hurst and just simply not only not replace him, but not even have the depth required to have someone to rely on. It just doesn't make sense to me. And it feels like they set themselves up for some depth issues. And they kind of maybe had some wishful thinking or some naive thinking, because last year in 2019, the Ravens had such great health and luck that way. And I say luck because at this point, I mean, Ronnie Stanley didn't suffer an injury as a result of, you know, some sort of physical issue that he had. He got rolled up on, and Nick Boyle got hit in his knee. And, you know, Jimmy Smith had an injury last year that kept him out for a long time. He got rolled up on. So these things happen. And to not have the depth required puts the Ravens in a really bad place. And who do you rely on now in this offense? I mean, Mark Andrews is really the only player to me, that aside from Lamar Jackson, that kind of brings it consistently. And he's even really struggled this year with drops and just really getting stifled by a lot of guys in coverage. That is the concentration of opposing defenses. Take away the security blanket, and that's Mark Andrews. So it's going to be interesting moving forward to see what the Ravens are able to do without Nick Boyle, without Ronnie Stanley, and with an offensive line that has, you know, really three question marks. The entire right side of the line, including the center position, is now a question mark. It's not looking great moving forward.
Yeah, it's a pretty grim outlook for the offensive line, and it's something where I've said it before. The offensive line is going to determine the outcome of the season for the Baltimore Ravens after losing Marshall Yanda to retirement and then losing Stanley and Boyle. I mean, those are your three best blockers all gone, and with that turnover, with that turmoil, it's just been a little bit, it's been a lot for Baltimore to go through all of that, and especially now moving forward. I mean, you're not just going to find a Pro Bowler on the free agent market right now. The trade deadline is gone. So you have to kind of work with what you have. And it's difficult because even in the tight end room, as you mentioned there, Spencer, I mean, the Ravens could have signed Eric Ebron. They could have maybe signed Delanie Walker if he was healthy enough, or Jordan Reed. They could have traded for Chris Herndon or Jacob Hollister. There are a lot of moves they could have made, but at the end of the day, they trusted their business model, and it's now coming back to, all right, well, is the depth that we had at the beginning of the year going to be enough? And right now, it's looking like it won't be, just because this we don't know what the offensive line could look like against Tennessee. There could be five different people on the offensive line with Brown moving back to right tackle, and they try all this different stuff. There's a lot to be figured out, and John Harbaugh was very mum in his press conference on Monday about it. So we'll see what ends up happening there. But we're going to head into our final break now, and when we return, we'll be talking about the Ravens' defense and what they did in the Ravens' 23-17 loss to New England. So stay tuned for that, and we'll be right back. Bilko makes you the best you at whatever you do. Break through your wall, whether it's a mental or physical wall. Break through it with Go every day. Visit Bilko.com and use promo code LOCKED and you'll get 20% off of your next order. Use promo code LOCKED for 20% off at Bilko.com. Let's go. And we are back with our final segment of this Locked On Ravens Taco Tuesday edition. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Spencer Schultz. And Spencer, this was a game where Baltimore's defense struggled for the first three quarters, and then we saw them kind of stiffen up in the fourth quarter and make the Patriots work for their yards, and they ended up giving up no points in that fourth quarter and honestly kept Baltimore in the game for the most part until the very end. So Spencer, with everything that happened in those first three quarters and then looking at what happened in the fourth quarter, what to you changed between those three quarters and then the final one?
Well, first, Brandon Williams goes down, and suddenly you're without Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams. And, you know, talent at the NFL level, there was a quote by Urban Meyer over the weekend that it was more of a kind of a monologue from Urban Meyer. But essentially he said that once you reach, you know, the Power Five level and even the other five level, talent is not an issue. They're the most talented in the world. And by the time you reach the NFL, they are by far the most talented in the world. And it comes down to trust is usually the first issue when there is a problem. And that's trusting, you know, coaches trusting players, players trusting coaches, players trusting the scheme, players trusting each other and things like that. So when you have to, you know, overcome the fact that it's Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams, I think that's a little bit different. There is a talent drop off there between two of the top guys among the professionals. So I think that was the issue. But once it was Justin Ellis and Justin Madubuike and, you know, Malik Harrison and Patrick Queen, it's four pretty relatively inexperienced guys behind each other. And the Patriots were decisive. They had a decisive run game. They run block really well. That has been their bread and butter this entire season. Their running backs are not that great, but their run blocking and Cam Newton's ability to run the football are. They have five very strong run blockers, and they're able to hit you with some different concepts and get movement. And when they combo really effectively and seal dudes off. And so there were gaps. There were open, you know, rushing lanes. The Ravens were tentative to really blitz. It felt like they were a little scared of getting beat over top on play action or something of the sort. So they kind of just stood there and took lumps over and over and over again. And to me, it was really reminiscent in ways of the San Francisco 49ers game played in 2019 by the Ravens. I believe it was like week 13 or so, week 12 maybe. The 49ers come to Baltimore in a really rainy game and ran the ball all over them. They were using more outside zone concepts, stretch concepts and things like that, some pitches and a little bit of reverses. But the Patriots were comboing and hitting off tackle and some inside stuff. And it really required the same adjustment, which was to pinch inside, crash the edges really hard, have the edges first priority be to go attack the running back and close down the line. And it was kind of baffling that it took Wink Martindale the number of drives and the number of runs that the Patriots were able to hemorrhage the Ravens, or I guess kind of chip away at the Ravens and break some big ones off eventually, before he adjusted and really started sending people off the line in such a windy, rainy game where clearly throwing the ball deep wasn't much of a concern. I think we saw Cam Newton attempt two passes over 10 yards and 14 passes total, 15 passes, something like that. So there's no reason not to be sending guys down the line to go, you know, corral the running back from behind when you essentially are not going to be able to hold Fort. And LJ Ford, another guy who's out, I didn't even think of, who's been really strong against the run this year. But Crashing down the line, it made sense, and they eventually made the adjustment and kept themselves in the ball game and kind of had an opportunity there late, but it wasn't enough. It was a little bit too late, and the offense couldn't bail them out. It felt like the defense has held up their end of the bargain for quite some time, and then ultimately the offense couldn't. And the offense hasn't been able to hold up for any sort of defensive deficiencies so far in those games that they've lost. Against the Steelers, the only occasion so far this year I can think where the offense bails out the defense a little bit is, the defense gives a little bit away to the Steelers in the second half there in the fourth quarter, and the Ravens offense scores a go-ahead touchdown, and the Steelers march right down the field, aided by a couple penalties, and scored another touchdown. And then yet again, the offense couldn't bail them out and couldn't go win that game at the end of the game. So it was unfortunate that it's been that way, but it's how this roster was configured. And I think that it was kind of an experiment that might have not gotten the positive results that the Ravens wanted. They invest $100 million on the defensive side of the football, a little bit over that, actually. And that's even before trading for Ngakoue. And when you remove a couple key guys from the same part of the defense, suddenly it's like you've got a $60 million defense, an average defense. And the problem kind of becomes when guys inevitably get hurt, you don't have the depth to hold up that end. And then you don't have the capital invested and the talent and the scheme offensively to put up points. And if you can't put up points, you can't win at a very basic level, the simplest way possible. So, this run game took too long to adjust. The Ravens fell behind. They lose Nick Boyle. They don't have Ronnie Stanley. They don't have any veterans. They don't have many explosive playmakers or really reliable kind of players. And it is what it is. And as I'm seeing this, I just saw ESPN show that the Ravens are currently 6.5-point favorites against the Tennessee Titans. And with the Titans coming to town, I don't know how that's possible exactly, but it's not good news that Brandon Williams is going to be out for a week, that Calais Campbell, John Harbaugh said it's day-to-day, but as you and I discussed offline, Kevin, hopefully that means he's not playing, because it feels like they could really use him in December and healthy, and as healthy as he can be considering his injury eventually. So I do not want to see him rush back. But in the meantime, the Ravens are really going to have to sell out to make up for the fact that they have Justin Ellis and Justin Madubuike and Derek Wolfe and no other interior defensive linemen. So they're going to have a tall task against the Titans. They're going to have a tall task against the Browns. The Steelers don't run the ball crazy well, but they do run the ball well enough to do some things. And we saw a couple runs that they broke off in that last matchup. So running the ball is going to be tough. It's going to ask a lot of these rookie linebackers. I think Malik Harrison has shown himself to be kind of a freak in terms of contact as a linebacker and able to fight through blocks. Patrick Queen has been up and down, so it's going to be asking a lot of those guys. We'll see LJ Fort back here hopefully soon. And, it's going to be tough. It's going to be pretty tough. The Ravens aren't going to be able to rely on the secondary. They're not going to be able to rely on that very expensive secondary. If teams can run the ball, it kind of takes away from what makes that defense so special, which is the exotic blitz packages, the ability to disguise coverage. It really is a defense that is predicated more on forcing teams to throw the ball. And if they're not forced to throw the ball, this defense is not an elite group. So it is going to be tough, but we'll see how they respond. And the most difficult part of this entire equation, and people want to keep, every couple of weeks or every week, people want to say, the Ravens, they'll go, however many games are left. Oh, they'll go seven games left. They'll go 5-2. They'll go 6-1. They'll go 4-3, whatever it is. But these injuries aren't going to stop. There's not going to be a pause where it's just like, okay, no more Ravens are going to miss time the rest of the year. It's just going to keep getting worse, and it feels like they're not deep enough offensively and across the defensive front. And in the secondary, how many guys are on IR right now? I mean, four plus Jimmy Smith is hurt and has had a nagging problem that has been an injury before and could burst at any time, it kind of feels like. So depth is a major concern. And if this Ravens coaching staff, they have two guys that last year won the AP Executive Assistant Coach of the Year award in Greg Roman, and number three got third place in Wink Martindale, with I believe Robert Saleh getting the most second place votes. So it's easy to say that these guys are great coaches when their team is completely healthy, and most teams aren't late in the year last year. But let's see what these guys can do. Let's see if they can prove their worth as coaches when they're banged up, when they're having street guys come in, things like that, because that's championship caliber coaching. And if they want to prove that they're capable of doing that, they got to, the proof is in the pudding. So let's see what they can do, walk in the walk moving forward.
Yeah, and I think, again, as we talked about a little bit offline, Spencer, with Calais Campbell, going back to that point, to me at least, it was very telling that Baltimore did not put him on injured reserve to give him the at least the 3 weeks off that injured reserve would have given him. And again, you look back at what Mark Ingram had in that calf injury and how he was severely affected by it. And right now, as we're speaking, and Mark Ingram is playing in this 2020 season, has Mark Ingram really fully recovered from that calf injury? And with a guy in Calais Campbell, who you mentioned you would love to have in December fully healthy, I wouldn't rush him back for this Tennessee game. I wouldn't even rush him back for Thanksgiving. I would ideally have him in Cleveland in week 14 and ride it out if he's completely healthy. And as you mentioned offline again, Spencer, you know, Baltimore over these next couple weeks, they're going to be tested and they're going to take a few licks here and there. And they honestly might go into Dallas with a 3-game losing streak. And I think that with that, going into that Dallas game, that would be a tough pill to swallow. But at the same time, I would much rather have these guys healthy and bank on a strong back half of the schedule, a strong last month where you play Cleveland. I believe it's New York and then Jacksonville, or maybe the two are flipped, and then you play Cincinnati, and then you maybe rely on a 4-0 stretch, 3-1 stretch there. And if you do that, I think you make the playoffs, and that, I think, is your key to success. Because if you lose Campbell, if you lose Smith for an extended period of time come playoff time, that's going to hurt your team, and it honestly might be another one-and-done year for the Baltimore Ravens, in my estimation. But hopefully Baltimore plays it safe with these injuries, and they do the right thing. But again, it's something where Baltimore is going to have to face the adversity and hopefully come out on top with it. But Spencer, that's all that I have for you today. Thank you once again for coming on the show. And hopefully, as we're talking next week, Baltimore will have played up to that adversity and overcome it and come out with a win against the Tennessee Titans. But who knows at this point? Thank you for coming on the show.
Thanks, Kevin. I appreciate it. Make sure to go give Kevin 5 stars in the iTunes library if you're a consistent listener. The guy's bringing you daily Ravens coverage, tons of great guests, tons of great content. So make sure to reward the man who works so hard. And thanks again for having me, Kevin. And I'll talk to you guys next week.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Spencer. When we get back here tomorrow, we'll be talking with Cole, and he'll be answering your mailbag questions alongside me. So stay tuned for that. And I will see you tomorrow.